You're listening to Renaissance Voices, a podcast about stories and the people who have lived them. Let's join Christine and find out who her guest is today.
Well, welcome to Renaissance Voices. My name is Christine Odell, and I am the owner of 8L's Publishing. I have today a very special guest, John Bates. He is the senior leader of Freedom Fellowship International. He also has a global ministry that he has been to 63 nations. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Right.
And he is also my pastor. So welcome, John.
Welcome to me. But you left out the most important thing. I'm your friend.
You are my friend.
We're friends.
That's
true. And I think, you know, the longer I'm in ministry, that's what really matters to me.
Yeah.
Is the friendships that I have developed through the years through ministry. And you are one of them. And I'm grateful for your friendship and your husband,
you.
Mike.
Yes.
You're special people.
Thank you. That means a lot to us, both of us. We have walked through a lot of ministry ourselves throughout our walk with the Lord, and I agree with you. Those relationships are important.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom relationships are important, the understanding of how to walk together and what it is that we're doing. You know, I think for so long, you come into the kingdom, and you're trying to get healed, and you're learning the Lord's ways, and you're learning so many things. And you're trying to find out, what denomination do I belong in?
Right.
What do I really believe? You know, and then you get to a place that you understand Jesus. It's all about walking with Jesus.
Right. Exactly.
And so many things are going to change. But the one thing that you really need to know is that you do walk in a community of believers, and that you are committed to Jesus, and you're committed to walking things out together in the Lord. And so I appreciate that conversation or that comment, Pastor, because that means a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Christine.
And so I want to say to you that, you know, you are very instrumental in me starting my publishing company.
Right.
That began because of a conversation that we had. You actually asked me to help you write.
Ghostwrite a book.
Right. That book was called
Inner Hearing.
Inner Hearing.
Yes.
And
you did a great job.
Thank you. It was all about prophetic ministry
and
the different aspects.
And there was an owl in it, a story about an owl.
There was an owl in it.
Now there are eight owls publishing company.
And the reason there are eight is because during the process of writing that, I was out actually walking in the park, and I, throughout 2 days, I saw eight different owls. The first one I saw was sitting on a pole as I walked that park pathway. And as I walked past him, he turned his head all the way around and looked down
and
at
said,
me.
And said, "Hello, Christine."
And I was like, okay, that's a little intimidating because, you know, owls are fierce.
Yeah, they are.
And then within 2 days, I had seen seven more. Hmm. And I came back to you and I said, okay, I know this means something. And you said, well, let's pray about it.
Right.
And then when we did, and I came back and I just said, I think it's a publishing
and
company.
I don't think I ever told you this. Eight's my favorite number.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So if I was a gambling man, it'd always go on eight.
Well, it's also the number of new beginnings.
Right. Right after seven completion.
Yes. And it's also the number of supernatural.
Right. Well, that's probably why I like it.
You are coming out with a teaching booklet called You Are What You Eat.
Right. It has nothing to do with health.
No.
Spiritual health.
Spiritual health, yeah. It does, though. It actually is a lesson that you taught us when we were in the throes of quarantine.
Right.
During the pandemic. And
doesn't that seem so long ago?
It does. It really does.
Like a lifetime ago.
And we've all of us, I think, have changed so much since then, you know? But I can tell you what that series did for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it. I watched our whole church kind of rally around it. For me, it allowed me to process through each different fruit of the Spirit because you kind of formed it that way. You showed us how we start with love as the foundation and then each
stair step,
of the other ones
all
kind
the way
of,
to self-control.
Yes. And I had never really heard it taught like that. And it really kind of changed a lot for me in understanding how to appropriate them. And if I'm not walking in one, then I need to go back and look at the one before.
Right. And let me tell you where that came from. Let me share them in the order they go: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I was in a denominational leadership meeting in Springfield, Missouri, for the Assemblies of God, sitting down with the assistant superintendent and his team about Bible literacy. And someone from Barna Group was there, had done an assimilation on Bible literacy of the Assemblies of God. So he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I think this guy was Baptist because he was really intrigued with the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he said, I found in the Assemblies of God that they had no more patience than an unbeliever. He said, and then maybe they stopped growing there. So I thought that while I was building this series, and I even put that in the book, that it's the fourth fruit: love, joy, peace, patience. Mm-hmm. If we get stuck in patience, if I'm impatient with you, well, I'm not going to extend goodness.
Right.
I'm not going to extend faithfulness to you because you get on my nerves because you don't do right. I'm not going to be gentle with you. I'm going to get sharp with you because, oh, she always does this. And then ultimately, I will lose my control with you.
Right.
No self-control. Ultimately, this whole guide is to get us to self-control, which is the hardest
thing
to do. We think love is hardest. Love is really easy. We're just supposed to love everybody. But ultimately, we're supposed to have control of ourselves.
Right.
To show kindness, goodness, mercy, all those things. So that's kind of the premise of the book. It's a ladder.
It was so beneficial to us going through quarantine because there was so much fear. There was so much uncertainty. There, you know, all of the different things that we experienced during that. And yet we were working on ourselves.
Right.
And we were working on love, joy, peace, patience, all the way to self-control. Mm-hmm. So that by the time we came out of that, we had allowed God to do a work in us that I'm not sure most churches really kind of, you know, were able to touch on. So to me, it was so timely, and that it kept us on track. It kept us growing. It was very discipleship oriented for the time.
Right.
And it also allowed us to all be, you know, kind of where we are in the different aspects of that. And yet it unified us because we were all moving the same direction.
Right.
So to me, it was, you know, so powerful in helping us walk through something that I know a lot of churches struggled. As a pastor, let me ask you this, because, you know, we have come out, we are flourishing. I would say freedom is flourishing in this season.
Yes,
and we have vision of where we're going and we're seeing the wheels turn.
We're ready to purchase things, get property, move forward. Yes.
Yes. But I know that a lot of churches, you know, and pastors are still struggling to pull things back together. What would you say to a pastor like that?
This pandemic, I contracted COVID in August of 2020. And I thought, that's not going to be hard. I'm in good shape. I thought I was in good shape. I wasn't as in good a shape as I thought. I had an underlying issue that I found out when I was in the hospital on the 16th, 17th day that I nearly died. And it was sleep apnea because my lungs, I did not take in enough air when I breathe. And, you know, I had trouble at night to the point where my wife would always wear earplugs and it still would not block it out. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't getting enough rest. My body was tired. My lungs were compromised. And so when I got double pneumonia from COVID, it nearly took me out. Then I got on the breathing machine and now I've lost enough weight. It's gone. So yay for that.
Yes.
But whatever an underlying condition someone had, if they got COVID, it was going straight to there and start undermining it. In our church, I announced last May, maybe June, I think it was in June, I had our whole pastoral staff come on the platform and said, we're sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were some underlying conditions that I did not know were there, and they came to the surface during COVID. So COVID didn't just affect physical health.
Right.
It affected spiritual health, mental health, societal problems. We saw a lot of violence come out and
yes, we did.
A lot of racism during this time, not in our church, but in our church, it brought some spiritual unhealth to light and was very painful.
Right.
So I think the churches that might still be struggling now haven't quite dealt with their issues.
Yeah.
And are wanting things to go back to the way they were. Sadly, but not really sadly, things are never going back to the way
they're
they were.
Not.
It's a new day. It's a new beginning, and might as well deal with them, because if you don't, those things are going to continue to deal with you.
Right.
So we dealt with our issues.
We did.
They were painful. They're extremely, I think, one of the hardest things I've ever been through in ministry, but we've corrected them.
Yeah.
And so they're no, kind of like my sleep apnea is gone. We corrected some things, some issues in our church body that are gone now.
Right.
And we move into better health. And, you know, scars, I remember COVID. I'm never going to forget that. But going through what we've gone through in ministry lately, it's kind of like a scar, and a scar reminds you of what you've been through.
Right.
So you don't do it again.
So you don't do it again.
Yeah. So, you know, thank God for that. So I'd say to leaders of churches, don't despair.
Right.
Realize there may be some scars, but it's just memories.
Right.
And plug into what God has for you and push on into the future.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's so good. I, you know, thinking through the fruit of the Spirit, when you really start appropriating each fruit, the way that you teach us to do in your book, it's those heart issues that you have to deal with.
Yes,
you know, that
they
begin to come up. Okay, if I'm unloving somewhere, what does that mean? And you don't mince words in the book.
Right.
You tell us what each one of them looks like, what they should taste like.
Right.
You kind of assign some different fruit to each one, like watermelon patience,
right,
cherry peas, you know.
Right. Lemon faithfulness.
Yes, which is one of my favorite ones, by the way, because you say something in the book that to me was very profound. Like, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
In the world, everything is always in flux. It's
right.
always changing. And the one faithful place, the one unchanging place is the Lord, right?
Right.
And so how gracious of him to give us himself, that unchangeable
same yesterday,
God,
today, and forever.
Yes.
So I put the lemon with that, because being in all these different nations, you ask for a lemon, you know exactly what it's going to taste like.
Right.
You know, other fruit can be different. You can get even square watermelons in Japan. You know,
really?
And there's orange watermelons and red ones and green ones and black ones and, you know, all kind of taste. Lemons are lemons.
They
God's
are.
Faithfulness is God's faithfulness.
Seriously, one of my favorite lessons in the book, because of the comfort that brought me, he is who he
is. Yeah, he is. He's not going to change.
And he's not going to change.
And he didn't change through COVID.
He didn't. He didn't. As a matter of fact, he revealed himself in,
right.
in greater ways.
Right.
If we really
desiring to change us.
Desiring to change yeah. us. So that we'll be more like him, so that we can appropriate
right.
the fruit. So to me, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, when you look at the Old Testament, they had been given the law of God, right?
Right.
The law of God really was just to kind of reveal God's heart, to lift them up out of the pagan practices around them, help them make some steps toward holiness. You know, God knew that the law of God, that they couldn't live up to the,
right.
the completeness of it, but it gave them an opportunity to understand where they weren't governing themselves,
right.
you know, so that they could come before him and make it right and be dependent upon him. So when I think of the fruit of the Spirit, to me, it is the more like kind of the law of the Spirit,
right? Right?
It's Holy Spirit's character that now he comes to indwell us. Now he has taken up residency within us so that we can be that empowered person to live rightly before God. And so it is kind of the law of the Spirit in the sense, and it's a way that we can judge ourselves, you
right.
know, where are we in our walk with Christ? So if I'm lacking patience, then I need to bring that before God and be very dependent upon him to grow that in me and allow me to, you know, go through whatever process I need.
Well, I want to speak to patience for a moment. When I was in that meeting in Springfield, and the man from Borna talked about Assemblies of God people, and I'm a fourth generation Assemblies of God person, not exhibiting any more patience than unbelievers, I wanted to raise my hand and say, we probably show less. I can't tell you how many times I've heard in churches, don't ask for patience.
Right.
You're going to get all kind of problems. That's the last thing you want to ask for. Well, every one of these fruit, as you develop them, there are going to be tests with them.
Sure.
And patience is no different. Somebody started it who was really impatient. So they started saying it and everybody just jumped on the bandwagon. But patience is a beautiful fruit.
It is.
I mean, it's so necessary for us to continue to move on. So, you know, I want to talk a moment about, you know, as a Pentecostal, I grew up hearing much more about the gifts of the Spirit
right.
than the fruit of the Spirit. I would hear about the fruit of the Spirit in Sunday school, but in sermons and in Sunday school more so, and the foundations of faith, we were taught the gifts of the Spirit, nine gifts, as opposed to, not complimenting the fruit of the Spirit.
Exactly.
You were raised Baptist and
I was actually raised Lutheran.
Lutheran, okay.
I never heard a sermon about the fruit gifts of the Spirit because it was very, you know, much more liturgical.
Right.
And historical.
Right.
And then I got saved in a Baptist church. I was discipled by a Free Methodist. Mm-hmm. I graduated college at a classical Pentecostal
right.
school. And now I'm at Freedom, which is a prophetic culture.
Prophetic, yeah. So probably you heard more fruit.
In the Baptist church,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah,
that's how you knew you were walking in the Spirit. The
right.
The term walking in the Spirit was very predominant, which is a term that Paul uses,
sure.
but empowered by the Spirit, that was
it's
not
different.
A term that
right.
we always used.
Right, that's a good term.
It is.
It's being really baptized into the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
So, and moving, and we get confused sometimes with the anointing from the Old Testament and the anointing in the New Testament. When we see the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them.
Right.
That's how he empowered them, and they would do these fantastic things, or they would prophesy. The New Testament, he's indwelt within us,
yes.
and powers from the inside out, kind of like a nuclear reactor. it's going on the inside and comes out. It's not a mantle on the outside
right.
that lifts after you do your exploit for God. So I love that empowered work of the Holy Spirit. But looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, I love how Paul incorporated some of the fruit of the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. 12 and 14 talk about the spiritual gifts and how they're implemented and carried out in a church service. And I call this the love sandwich. 13 is the meat. So you have 12 is bread, 14 is bread, 13 is the meat of love. That if we don't have love and try to do all these other, and I think it represents all the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Faith, hope, and love, but you can put them all in there. If the fruit don't exist, what's the point of trying to prophesy and help people and speak in tongues and do all these things? Because Paul said one day those are going to go away, but the
exactly.
love is going to remain.
Exactly.
And honestly, some of the meanest people I've encountered in my life were in Pentecostal churches.
Because they weren't taught.
They weren't taught the fruit.
They weren't.
Yeah.
They were taught to seek after the empowerment, but
right.
not. But the
you,
love,
you know what? Different. They were, because I know, because I lived, they were taught to seek after the experience
right.
of speaking in tongues.
Of speaking in tongues.
And I look at that, you know, buffets aren't really in vogue right now after the pandemic.
No.
But I look at speaking in tongues as the weakest of the gifts.
Yeah.
And if you're in a buffet, my dad used to tell us, don't get salad. Don't fill up on the lettuce. That's the cheapest thing on here.
Right. So,
he would tell us to
go
skip
for the
that.
Pie.
Yeah, go for the pie. Go for the meat. Go for the vegetables. And classic Pentecostals got stuck on speaking in tongues,
right.
and they had that experience, so they're Spirit-filled, but there is no true empowerment and growing, and no complementing with the spiritual fruit of the Spirit
yeah.
to accompany it. So
yes.
I like tying it all together.
What a great conversation. Let's take a break to talk about the Write My Story Challenge, hosted by Taylor Brands and 8 Hours Publishing. This is a 5-day live training guiding you through writing, publishing, and releasing your redemption story. Go to the link in the show notes to register today. Let's get back to the show.
I feel like a lot of the times we're always growing in our understanding of the Lord and His ways. I mean, we will be growing the whole time. We're on this earth.
We'll
and
grow
I'm
on
not,
our deathbed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure we won't be doing that in heaven as well. I don't know what that looks like. I just think God is so vast.
Right.
What an amazing thing to think we just keep getting to know Him more
right.
and more and more.
Right.
I don't know the answer to that. But I do think that very often we craft our theology around our experience.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, I have experienced the Holy Spirit
sure.
in the Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when, you know, in the Lutheran church, you're baptized as a baby. But then when you're 13, you go through what's called confirmation.
Right. Kind of like Catholic catechism.
Yes. Yeah. So then when after leaving the Lutheran church and being saved mm-hmm. in the Baptist church, I had such a powerful encounter with God in my salvation experience, right. sitting in my bedroom and knowing that I just needed Jesus. And then the next morning running to my Baptist brother-in-law pastor who, you know, who knew my story, who right. knew what I was coming out of and was wondering what in the world I was there for. But I just knew that God was calling me and pulling me into himself. And he was the only one that I thought had any answers. And when I left that office that day, I came out so full of the Holy Spirit that I had been an alcoholic. I didn't drink right. since then. Wow. I had smoked probably two packs of cigarettes a day up mm-hmm. to that point, never touched one wow. since, not even wanted one, you know, just, right. And
what did that feel like to cold turkey walk away? I mean, I know there weren't cravings, but what was that like for you?
Oh, I was so in awe with the power of God because I had never experienced, to me, I was so enraptured with the love of God.
Right.
Like he just poured himself out in a way that radically changed me. I was not the same person.
Right.
And when my husband came home, he wasn't really sure who I was at that time.
It was probably disorienting
It
to
was
him.
Very Some disoriented
cognitive dissonance.
To him.
Like, who is this?
He knew that something had right. radically shifted.
And he had not shifted.
And he had not. Yeah. And we went through some struggle there for a couple of weeks, but mm-hmm. then he went back to his brother.
Jesus won out.
He did. Yeah. He went back to his brother and he said, okay, what happened to my wife?
And he's awesome. He serves on the pastor's advisory council for
my husband.
He's incredible.
Yes, he is. He's a great man. But I mean, for probably a full month, I don't know that I slept well because I was afraid that feeling that I had was going to go away.
Wow.
And it was so intense. Mm-hmm. I would read the word of God and things would just lift, you know, the
sure.
words would lift off the page and just fall into my heart. And I understood them, which is who Holy Spirit says he is, right? That
right.
he will lead us into all truth.
Sure. Yeah, and he does. And we're so innocent as new baby Christians. I don't use this often unless I'm in a Muslim nation to new converts. I tell them the first month or two, you don't have to know much about the Bible. Just open it, and wherever it falls, that's God speaking to you.
Yes.
And they tell me, they come back the next day, guess what he said? And then guess what yeah. he said? You know, it's just, Holy Spirit knows where we're at.
Yes.
And I said, but after a couple months, it doesn't work that way. You get acquainted with the Bible.
Right, right. And he wants you to seek out the truth
yes.
of who he is.
Right.
You know, it's like any relationship. And I think that's the thing about Holy Spirit. You know, he's not an impersonal Spirit.
No,
he is my friend. He is
yes,
your friend.
Right.
He is God. Yes. He is the Spirit of Jesus. He is holy. He is
right.
all of these things, but he's so relational.
Right.
And he's a person.
Mm-hmm.
He has a personality, you know,
yes.
that he wants us to get to know him and he wants to get to know us.
Right.
And in that is how we cultivate, going back to the fruit, that's how we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. And there's so much more about the ministry of Holy Spirit. You know, after my salvation experience, I got involved in it was a ministry where I would say we were walking in power evangelism. But I can remember that I had lots of conversations with people about speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't speak in tongues. But yet I would walk powerfully in some of the other gifts. And
right.
so that was really confusing for me coming into the Assemblies of God and them and having people say to me, I'm not filled with the Spirit.
Right.
For somebody like me,
mm-hmm.
what as a pastor, what would you
well,
say to that?
Classically, I would say, yes, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Scripturally, I would say, Paul says, I wish you all would speak in tongues, but even more than that, I want you all to prophesy.
Right.
So I think, for me, I hope this won't get me in trouble, but I tell people, start prophesying.
Yeah.
And then tongues will probably follow after that, because prophesying is so powerful. It encourages people. And I found that in a church will either be a prophesying church or a gossiping church.
Right.
You're going to be busy with your mouth one way or another.
Yes.
So prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. If you don't know how to prophesy, just share a scripture with someone. You know, whatever God dropped in your heart that morning, that's your fresh bread. That's your word for the day. Share it with as many people as you can.
Yeah.
And speak life.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell people now.
That's awesome. Because, you know, that is what tongues does, right? It tames this thing that James, the book of James tells us is untamable.
Right.
And we begin to use our speech
right
for God's purposes instead of our own, you know, right, which all of that works together. So here's my story about really coming to that place where I spoke in tongues. I was sitting in a evangelistic service. The evangelist was up there talking about the importance of witnessing and speaking in right tongues, and something in my understanding just opened up.
Right.
And all I could think of was, I really need you to stop talking because I have to get to the altar, you know, wow, like, so maybe I wasn't exuding the patience
sure,
that I
sure,
needed
sure
to, but I just felt like, oh, God is about to give me something, you know? And so I run to the altar and I'm literally shaking, and they knew why I was up there, and they just came over and prayed, and I immediately started speaking in tongues. And I remember going home that night and just using my prayer language just right all night right long. And I was so enamored with what was coming out of my mouth. And I knew that it was spirit empowered. I knew it wasn't just from me.
Right.
And so, you know, I just want to say that here, that no matter your denominational bent, there is always so much more
right
about God,
exactly,
you know? And I think sometimes we put him in these boxes because we think we have to define him a certain mm-hmm way, and he loves to kick the sides of those boxes
oh, yeah
out, you know, so that we're not relying on this structured thinking. We're relying on him, because ultimately that's what we're working back toward. That's what salvation is, that we lost at the garden, right?
Right.
We lost, you know, God would come down and he would walk with Adam and Eve. He
right
would walk with them. And when sin entered the picture and deception entered the picture, they lost that. They lost the ability to walk in that intimate manner with him the way that they did. And then they were exiled.
Right.
But God in his mercy, you know, had a plan to reunite that fellowship and that intimacy with him through his son, Jesus.
Right.
And so what Jesus did, you know, when after the cross and then after he reappears and he says, when I'm ascended, when I go back up to my Father, I'm sending one that is like me to help you.
Right.
Right? And that's who Holy Spirit is. He's the Spirit of Jesus.
Yes, he is. He is. You know, I'm thinking about the juxtaposition of the fruit of the Spirit to the gifts of the Spirit. And in our different denominations, how we've talked, in some denominations, the fruit is emphasized more, and some the gifts. We talked about the gift of tongues, and I call it the weakest gift because it has to have another gift to work with it. Also, I mean, miracles and faith go together, but those are power gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But tongues is used in a church setting with an interpretation or for personal use,
right,
to build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. So, yeah. Gifts are important, but they're made for the church, not for you. The
right
fruit are made more for you, not the church.
Yes.
And if we just say, I want to be all about the gifts, you're missing out on the personal development. And you may have some book knowledge and experiential knowledge of these spiritual gifts, but you're lacking in Christian development.
Right.
And I think they're equally important. They go together.
They go together. It's you know, if Holy Spirit is a person, and he is, and this is his ministry, you know, it's like we kind of fragment him
right
somewhat, and he's like, no,
right,
here, I'm going to bring this all together for you. You know, that is also the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that he brings wholeness to us.
Exactly.
He brings that sense of wellness to us. And it's all as we appropriate this relationship with him, and
right,
we cultivate this relationship with him, and we find out that he knows us more than we even
exactly
do. And he knows how to get into the depths of our beings and really release any, you know, the pain and all of the things that this life has brought that we have to be healed from.
Right.
We're on a journey of healing. We're on a journey back into a place of wholeness and not fragmentation.
Exactly.
And that's his ministry. And so the gifts really help us to be the church and show who Jesus is. But the fruit is the way that we appropriate all the healing.
Right.
I can look at things in my past, you know, where it was difficult for me to maybe walk through some forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't and I let that unforgiveness fester, then what happens? You get bitter, right? Well,
right.
When you get bitter, that affects your love.
Right.
It affects your joy. It affects your peace.
And it should affect your operation and spiritual gifts.
Right.
Some people just plow through it, though.
Right.
It's like, I don't need to be right in my spirit to be activated in spirit. And yeah, the gifts of God are without repentance.
Right.
But I think we can get to that place of flesh.
Yes.
And mingling with the spirit because we don't want to submit to God and do the things that we need to do. The book is entitled, You Are What You Eat. So if I am only eating the gifts of the spirit, well, then I'm faith. Or I am working of miracles, or I'm interpretation, I'm calling myself a gift.
Yeah.
I'm not, how do I put that into the marketplace?
Yeah.
How am I really going to show that to my family? Am I going to prophesy to my family all day, or am I going to show them love?
Right.
And mercy and tenderness? You know, it's just,
right.
That's the reality of it.
And wholeness, because
right.
that's why, you know, we talked, when we started this conversation off, we talked about the importance of Christian fellowship and friendship and walking this journey together,
right?
We can't do that if we're not appropriating the fruit of the Spirit.
No, we can't.
It's not a possibility.
It's going to be a barren life.
Yes.
We're going to get spiritual scurvy.
Yeah, which you talk about in your book.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, I just want to say to you, I am so thankful that you wrote on this in the manner in which you did, because you married it all together. You really did lead us well. Through
Thank
the pandemic, you led us, you know, to where we are today. And all we see, those of us that attend Freedom, we just see vision and hope and just a renewed sense of where we're headed. And I know that that had not, you know, wasn't easy as a pastor
right.
during all of that to kind of
it was
shoulder.
Weird.
I'm sure.
Unsettling.
I'm sure it was. But we
just
are
as
healthier.
Weird as we were putting soap and water on our bags of chips.
I know.
It's just weird stuff.
Just weird stuff. Well, I never thought we would, you know, I never thought I would live through something
right.
like that. And nobody had any.
It was sci-fi.
Nobody knew how to do it.
No.
So for you guys to lead us through the way that you did, you did a great job. And I see us now, you know, much more healthy, much more whole than we were. And that is where all of us are headed in the
right.
church. But I just love the way that you pulled it all together for us and gave us the meat of what we needed in the season. And so if you're listening and if some of that, you know, you're like, well, I understand this aspect, but I didn't understand this aspect. I feel like that this book, You Are What You Eat, is a very holistic way of looking at the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and really helping you walk step by step in how to appropriate them, see where you're stuck,
right.
you know, and really it's just a tremendous tool for growth. It's very discipleship oriented, and it is something that I feel like you can go back and reread and just kind of check where you are, you know,
right.
throughout the seasons. And so look for that. It's not quite published yet. It will be published here in the next, hopefully the next
month.
Few weeks. Yeah,
yeah,
but within the next month. And you can find that on 8LsPublishing.com. John Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, how can they reach you if they want to support John Bates Ministries?
It's johnbatesministries.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Love to have you support. I'm ready to start going to the nations again. It's time.
Well, thank you for being my guest
today. Oh, thank
today.
You.
I just thoroughly
enjoyed it.
It was a great conversation.
You know, we did this last week and the audio was not on, and
right.
this was much better.
Good.
I enjoyed this one. I think it's a better broadcast.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how he works, right?
It is.
So thank you so much. This is our third episode. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to the first two as well. And I will tell you that we've got some quality people on this podcast that have written books on our website that just inspire me. And I know that they will do the same for you. And I'm so looking forward to talking with you again next week. We drop our episodes every Tuesday. Next week, I believe we're going to be talking to Lester Bailey, who wrote the most amazing devotional and so creative and so unusual that I think I've ever seen. And so we're going to be talking about that.
Thank you for listening to Renaissance Voices. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear more from your favorite authors at 8 Hours Publishing. You can also follow us on our social media, linked down in the show notes. Dios los bendiga.